I thought I would take this opportunity to do a series on restoration, since we're restoring stuff around here. You know, and you can see it's going on. You know, in time, old things have to be removed and new things have to come in. Old paint has to go off and new paint goes on. You know, some things become outdated or worn out and you got to change them. How many of you had to renew your car? It got old. You had to renew it. You know, I just had to put a transmission in mine. After 189,000 miles, the transmission decided that it didn't want to operate no more. So I had to restore it, right? You know, in the natural, things wear out. They become outdated or damaged or no longer work. They need to be restored or renovated. You know, sometimes, in fact, years and years and years ago, a guy, he was talking to me, a pastor, and he said, I get a lot of visitors, but nobody seems to want to stay at the church. And I finally had to be honest with him. There were weeds out in front of the church. There were leaves and stuff all over the, he had a porch on that church. You know, it was one that was built a long time. How many of you remember they used to build churches that have porches on them with pillars and stuff? And it was leaves and stuff all over there. And I went inside, and the first thing that hit you was a carpet that, it had to be 100 years old, you know. And I went inside, and the church, it just needed a complete facelift, you know. And he wondered why nobody was staying. You know, things had to be restored. Often you catch people with the natural before you catch them with the spiritual. Anybody ever notice that? You know, spiritually, we're filled with the Spirit, but it has to be more than a one-time experience. In fact, the Word of God says, be being filled. Be being filled. And so if you want a title for what I'm talking about, it's God Will Do It Again. You know, you can tell when some people, some believers, let's just narrow it down to believers. Let's don't go with people. Listen, you can tell when believers need restoration because they're no longer concerned about the lost. They no longer demonstrate love. It isn't prevailing in their lives. They don't have any joy. You know, and when they get in a crisis, there's no faith word spoken. You know, and all they do is talk about the good old days. I've run into people recently that they're still talking about the 70s and 80s when we had the charismatic renewal going on. How many of y'all remember when that was going on? But there's some people that's they're still talking about that. No, you need to continue to be being filled with the Spirit. They got filled with the Spirit back then, and they're still there. They need to continually be being filled with the Spirit, being restored to that time. You know, he wants us to continually have a spiritual renewal or restoration. Acts 3:19. Peter is speaking here, and he says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration. All things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Now, I want to read that out of the Message version. It reads a little different. Now it's time to change your ways. Turn your face to God so that he can wipe away your sins. Pour out showers of blessing to refresh you and send you the Messiah he prepared for you, namely Jesus. For the time being, he must remain out of sight in heaven until everything is restored to order, just the way God, through the preaching of his holy prophets of old, said it would be. In these verses here, it's saying that Jesus, that through Jesus all things will be restored as they were prophesied. He's also saying that we can tap in to the restoration of all things when we repent and be forgiven our sins. Now, in the Albert Barnes notes on the Bible, he says restoration means restore a thing to its former situation as restoring a strained or dislocated limb to its former soundness. Adam Clark, in his commentary, I like Adam Clark's commentary myself. There's a whole lot of different commentaries, but I like Adam Clark really well. He speaks sort of more to the in common language than some of the other theologians do. Restoration must mean the accomplishment of all the prophecies and promises contained in the Old Testament relative to the kingdom of Christ upon the earth, from ascension of the Lord till his coming again. Now, some words that you could use, similar words, refurbish, repair, renew, reestablish, rebuild. All of these words carry the same aspects of the process of restoration. So I want to challenge us today, as we are challenged with all of the things in life, that we continually have times of refreshing and restoration with the Spirit of God. You know, Acts 3:21, it says that in 19 said times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. 21 says times of restoration of things. Now, I want you to notice that word times, that is not singular, right? That's plural. So times means more than one. Right? And the Word of God says, continue to be being filled with the Spirit. Continually be being restored. Right? See, times of refreshing are to happen throughout the whole church age. And then when I say church, I'm talking about the ecclesia, the called out ones. But they're also supposed to happen in your personal life. We need to expect refreshings and restorations in the Spirit. Now, Peter here, when he was speaking, he indicated that these two things would happen between Christ's ascension into heaven until he comes again. Right? That's when we call it the rapture, when the church is taken out. Okay? See, you got to remember there is two comings of Christ. In the rapture, Christ doesn't come. He doesn't touch the earth. In the second coming, he comes to the earth. Now, I don't have time to get into prophecy preaching and the end time stuff, but if you've studied it all, you know that's true. So we can rejoice in the fact that God has promised to continually refresh us and restore us. You know, he wants it to happen so that we can live the good life that he wants us to live. Also, so that we can carry out his purpose and his plan here on earth. Jesus came to restore and bring salvation. He came to restore and bring healing. He came to restore and provide for us in every area of our life. He came to restore what the enemy has stole from us. Now, when we look into the Bible, we see that he restored things. And throughout the whole Bible, we see he restored what the devil tried to steal, to kill, and destroy. Hey, now, God restored the earth during creation. Now, Genesis 1, 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God hovered over the faces of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was." Now, I'm going to get a little theological with you this morning, but I want you to stay with me. Okay? I want you to notice that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, God never created anything that wasn't perfect. So it says God created heaven and earth, but the earth was without form and void. Now, we need to realize some things here. And many, many, many theologians and scholars believe that when God created the earth to start with, but when he kicked Satan and his cohorts out of heaven, they fell to the earth and they caused a cataclysmic situation that messed everything up. And then many believe that when he came, he restored the earth back to what it was supposed to be. Now, that's, you know, and Jesus said this in Luke 10:18. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And if you go back and do some study in Isaiah and back in there, you can see all of this. I'm not going to get in an argument with you over it one way or the other, but that does explain a whole lot of things. Okay? Now, he sent his Spirit. He said it was hovering over this place that was without form and void. And when God began to speak, then the Spirit of God was there to cause it to happen. Remember, in creation, it says, let us make man, and it says us. So that means that they were all involved. The whole Godhead was involved. And then in Genesis 1:31, he says he looked at it and what he had created are restored. And since the chaos is mentioned there in verse 2, and said it was very good. Okay? Now, don't get hung up on that. That's just some theological things, but that's a real question for a lot of people, and that's from all of the theological things that you can read and study. That's the best explanation that we have of that. How many of you have ever read theological stuff and studied stuff like that? We have. A lot of us have. And so that's the best, but don't get hung up on it. God created it anyway, He restored. He restored Israel back to their homeland. They've been taken into captive. 70 years they were there in Babylon. It looked like they'd never go back. It looked like that, but when they were in captivity, Daniel began to read Jeremiah's scrolls, and he began to pray for the restoration of Israel. And then we began to read about it in Nehemiah, how the people came back and they rebuilt the walls and they restored. So, and then Jesus came to restore man back to the level that he had with God in the Garden of Eden. Whenever the enemy came in and he stole God's man from him. Remember, God made man for himself to walk and talk and to have communion with. Remember that in the beginning there, God came down, he walked and talked with man there in the garden and had a personal relationship with him. Now, when the Satan came and they sold out to the devil, because see, the enemy, he got kicked out of heaven. He's always trying to dethrone God. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. He was probably an archangel. Lucifer, he was probably an archangel. He was probably, if you study, he was probably in charge of all the music. And it says that he did a coup and he took a third of the angels and they tried to overthrow God, and God kicked them out. Hello. Now, if he took a third of the angels, then that means two-thirds are left, right? So there's two angels for every one that the devil took. So there there it is. He had stolen God's man. So through Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross, in fact, we're serving communion today. That's what the communion table is all about, the restoration of man to have communion with God through salvation, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have restoration of the healing of his body through the broken and beaten body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus came to restore man spiritually, to restore man spiritually to that place where we can commune with God, pray and commune with him through our spirit. Thank God for that day when Jesus will return and man will be restored to the natural, the way it was in the beginning. It says, remember in the Garden of Eden, all of the animals were there and there was no fighting among them. It says the lamb will lay down by the lion, the lamb will lay down by the lion. Come on now. These verses of scripture said that he would come, but that this restoration would continue to take place among his people until he comes again. Till he comes again. Hallelujah. So Jesus came and restored mankind back to himself. And we see this, you know, the psalmist said in Psalms 80 verse 3, restore us, O God, cause your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Restore. 2 Corinthians 6, 2 says, for now, says it like this, in the acceptable time of I've heard you, and the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, but no, now is the day of salvation. Be restored. That's the day of restoration of mankind from the enemy to back to God. Now God promised to restore all his people from what, to his people, what Satan has stolen from them. Joel 2:23. Let's go read Joel 2:23. All right. Joel 2:23. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarm locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, the chewing locusts, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. Now who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Now I want you to notice here, it is saying that everything is going to be restored. Somebody said, well, that's the children of Israel. No, we are the spiritual children of Zion. It says there that if you be Abraham, if you're born again, you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. And then Paul was sent to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And then in Romans, he talks about that we are adopted into the family. So we are spiritual Zion. That's telling us that what the devil has stolen, that God has come to restore to us. Hello. Put your trust in God. You know, we go through a lot of different things. There's all kinds of things that happen to us. Bad things happen. Tragic things happen. Traumatic things happen. But you can put your trust in God. Amen. Nothing can happen to us that God cannot restore. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, he'll fix it again. Yeah. If he ever fixed it once, he can fix it again. And we can read in the Word of God how he restored many, many times to many, many people, to singular people, to groups. He restored. It's because people put their trust in him. He is the master restorer. He can fix you, and he can fix all the situations. He can restore you back. See, your life may seem broken. You may feel like that your life is broken into a million pieces. And it looks unrepairable. But today I'm telling you that God is the restorer. And he can put it back together. So it looks brand new and you can't even ever tell that it's been broke. No matter what happens, put your trust in God. Hurtful things, things that broke your heart. If you let God, he will come in and restore and fix you back to the way you used to be. Letting you know that he has not forsaken you. He's not turned against you. The devil may have come into your life and messed it all up, but he will restore that joy to you. He will restore that's been taken from you. And even if we lost our loved ones, he can restore a joy in us because we know that we're going to see him again. It wasn't goodbye, just see you later. He is the master restorer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good to us. You know, as we begin to look at this, no matter what happens, see, we got to get to the point, no matter what happens, no matter what the devil brings, we know that our God is there to restore. How many of you have had the master restorer work on you? That's just about everybody in here. How many of you have had the master restore work on some of your problems and your situations and turn them around? Turn to your neighbor and say, the master restore. That's my God. Hallelujah. See, some of you, your life was a utter mess. You were going down for the last time. But you turned to the master restorer. And now your life is worth living. How many of you were to the point that life wasn't even worth the living anymore? But you found God, the master restorer, the one that changed you from being the mess you were to the great person that you are now in God. Oh, God is just going around. He is looking for messes that he can restore, that he can put back together, that he can change just for you. Just for you. I don't know about you, but I done got excited. Hallelujah. See, no matter what has happened, God can fix it. God can fix it. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, God wants to restore things back to you that the enemy's taken. Others can tell you that it's never going to happen. Others can speak to you and say, well, now that's wishful thinking. You dreaming a dream that never can happen. No, you're not. And it's not wishful thinking. Your God can do it again. We can read in the Bible where he did it time and time again. He restored. He brought Israel back. He restored things. When David's life looked like it was gone forever, and Absalom was stealing the kingdom from him, God told him, don't worry. You're the anointed king. And he came and restored him to his kingship. You remember, he had to leave Jerusalem. He had to leave his palace. David was a man in the Word of God, I think, that had more restoration than anybody. He was anointed. First of all, as a kid, he had to fight the lion and the bear to keep him from getting his daddy's sheep. And then he was anointed king, and then Saul tried to kill him. But he couldn't do it. All through his life, God kept him and kept restoring and kept restoring and kept restoring until he was able to save up an enormous amount of money that his son Solomon could build the temple in Jerusalem so that they had a place where God dwelt. Now, stay with me. They had a place where the power of God dwelt. They had it in the old tent tabernacle, but now they had a building where he resided, the presence and power of God reside. But Jesus came. God said, that's not good enough. I want to walk and talk with man like I used to. And he brought Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And then when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he didn't sin, he took sin for us. And he said, it is finished. His head slumped to his chest. And at that same time, there was all kinds of things going on, earthquakes and darkness and so forth. And that 3-foot wide curtain, it's about 20 foot tall. It was split from top to bottom and ripped wide open. And God said, I will restore my man to myself so that he can walk and talk with me like I designed him to be. Oh, he is the restorer. He is the restorer. You can't figure it out, but God can fix it. If God restored once, he'll do it again. If God restored once, he'll do it again. If God restored in Bible days, he can restore in the modern day. Oh, yeah. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. And 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 he'll do it one more time. God will do it again. Let's go. Sing it. Where are they at? Get up here, kids. Quit messing around. Get here. Come on. I need you right now. Quick, quick, quick. Let's sing. Let's sing. Let's go. Hallelujah. This is a great song. Get with them.
Lay me down and feel like God has somehow forgotten. Circumstances you can't get through. Right now it seems there's no way out, you're going under. But God's proven time and time again, he'll take care.
Always come through.
If he ever did it once, he'll do it again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't forget that. I don't care what hits you up beside the head. Remember, God will restore. God will make a way where there seemed no way. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment. We've been rejoicing in here because we know that God will do it again, as we know that we have been in situations. But there may be somebody in here that does not know Jesus Christ. See, you have to know him as your Savior. And you don't know him, but he'll restore your life. He'll change your life. Or you may be in here and you know what it is to be able to sing like we've just singing. But you're not where you need to be. Hey, don't let the devil tell you that it's over. God will restore you. God will bring you back to where you were. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, anybody on those two invitations, let me see your hand right now. I need to pray for you. I want to pray for you. The Lord is speaking to my heart that there's a lot of people in here. It says there's several in here that you're not where you used to be with God, and you've been told you can't ever get back there. But God is saying to you this morning, if you'll get down here, I'll restore you. I'll put you back where you were. Hallelujah. If you need Jesus, if you're in that group that needs to be, it needs to restore, I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here and meet me from the balcony. They'll show you how to get down here. And the congregation, come and meet me right now. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll change you. Come on right now. Come on right now. You need to be restored. There's several people. The Holy Spirit has said to me, there's several people that need to be down here right now. You need to be restored. You need to be restored. I'm not talking about that you're in deep sin. I'm not talking about being in deep sin. I'm just talking about you need to be restored back where you were, back where you once used to be with God. You've let it slip away from you. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come on right now. I'm going to hold this open. There's people that need to get down here. There's people that need to get down here. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bless you, buddy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come on. You know, you may not, you're not in gross sin or anything, but you know you need to be restored to where you were. You're not where you're supposed to be. You know it. Come on. If you're in the balcony, come on down here. This is your time to be restored. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hey, y'all all look at me. Listen, you know, some of you may be down here because you need to rededicate your life, but some of you are down here because you just need to be restored to where you used to be. You've let things slip, and you just haven't been serving God like you should. You're serving him, but not like you should. I'm gonna pray a prayer here for you, and then I'm gonna ask you to go to a prayer room and just let people minister to you and pray with you there, whatever it is that you want. This is sort of a different call this morning. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that every one of these individuals, their spiritual needs will be met. They'll be restored to where they used to be, Father. If they need to rededicate themselves to you, they'll do so. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your heads that way. Look at Brother Greg. Would y'all go to that place right now? Go to that place and be ministered to in prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All of the rest of us, We need to continually letting ourselves be restored. Daily we should be restored with God. Hallelujah. If you start losing your joy, that lets you know you need a restoration. Let the Holy Spirit come in. Continue to be being filled with the Spirit every day. See, every day you need to pray in the Spirit. That's what I'm talking about, being restored. Every day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, anybody get anything out of this morning? Glory to God.